Recording.
Can you say mommy?
Ava. Hi.
Ava.
Say Scott Hogan. You heard it. Everybody heard it. Yep. Applause. She said Scott Hogan. Set him up and knock
him down. No, don't eat it.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast. It is your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend and gets you ready for the next. Happy hump day. I am your host, Scott Hogan, sitting across from the table for me, as always.
Dan, built like a Heinz Field medical truck, right?
There you go, Dan. Welcome here. We're going to talk about week five that just completed, heading into week six. And I've got a bone to pick with the NFL.
Oh, the whole NFL, the entire league,
NFL and their scheduling. Yes, as a podcast that prides itself in knowing what happened in every single game, how dare you put 10 games on at noon?
I know, wasn't that crazy?
And just two on at the 3 o'clock hour. Who gets away with this?
Well, it's because the Cowboys are on at 3 o'clock, and they're like, well, what's the fucking point? Let's throw Cowboys Packers on there. Let's put as little competition for it as possible.
Nobody I watched Chargers watch winning the then fighting the then winless Broncos. Give me a break.
Oof.
There was probably more people watching that game at home than in the stadium because there's nothing else to watch.
True. Very true.
Ugh. Anyways, and also because, you know, it's quite a big market. yeah, so not a fan of that, but they win me over this week, giving me that 8:30 start on Sunday.
Oh, isn't it the best?
London game start. So, okay, fine. I'm a little happier in this upcoming one, but that was a little bit of shit, NFL. How dare you?
Well, especially because they just jammed that Bears-Raiders game in there. It's like, that could have been a 9:30. That would have been great start to the day.
Or, I mean, I guess it would have been a later, so it would have been almost a 9 o'clock start there in London if they made it the afternoon one, but they could have shoved some more, at least in the afternoon. I get that the 8:30 starts are a little treat.
Yeah. And, a delicious, delicious, delectable treat.
Yeah. My girlfriend's not going to like when I tell her, like, well, sorry, football starts Sunday even earlier. All day long.
Nice thing is, if I do it right, because my wife wakes up early every day with the baby.
Mm.
And so on the weekends, I'm like, you know what? When he's sleeping just a little bit, she'll be like, oh, man, I got to sleep in. And then she'll turn and there'll be football on the television. She's like, it's like I didn't sleep at all.
Wait a minute. What time is it?
Wait, yeah, what is this?
Relax.
I'll just be like, baby, it's noon.
It's Panthers Bucks. So we gotta get going. Anyways,
oh, Panthers Bucks.
Yeah. Oh, that wakes everybody up.
It's like a shot of coffee.
An NFC South tilt, please. but a crazy week where you start thinking you understand these teams and who's the good ones, who's the bad ones, who you're gonna win, not, and then they turn it on its head, as the NFL loves to do.
As Socrates once said, I do know the most because I know that I know nothing.
Hmm.
I know nothing about what the fuck is going on.
The philosopher's quotes.
We're starting to figure it out, though.
Yeah, I mean, as things get clearer, they also get murky, and I think that's what we're seeing here. So let's jump in. Let's talk about these games.
Let's go.
The game of the week is the first game of this week is what I've chosen. The Thursday night game between the Rams and the Seahawks, where Seahawks won by one.
God.
29-30.
What a blast. On a missed last-second field goal. That's the shit I'm talking about.
By one of the best kickers in the league, Zuerlein.
Greg the leg.
And a 44-yarder that's well within his range.
Oh, man. I mean, 44 is not a gimme.
It's not a gimme, but I think he made one 10 yards longer to get him to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
The championship
Absolutely.
Game. So this one, yeah, a rough one. It was back and forth.
So it wasn't in the first half. Like, the first half score is so weird.
Oh, that's true.
Because it's like, you know, we scored six and, you know, the fucking Seahawks just absolutely fucking had them.
Rams
absolutely
started
them.
Slow again, as they have all year.
Yeah.
They start slow.
And then it was like a 14-point swing right there near the end because it was going to be a Seahawks touchdown. And then the Rams took it all the way down the field and scored right before the end of the half. And I was like, wow, this is now a very competitive game. This thing was a fucking blast to watch. All those lead changes back and forth, and then, of course, Russell Wilson has a fucking phenomenal game. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff pulls his head out of his ass from the first half performance to really have a marvelous second half of this game.
Well, and that's the thing. The Rams, they're never out of these games when even though they're starting slow. They've got an offense that can score anywhere on the field. And again, yeah, Cup with 117 yards and Gurley ran in two. Now, Gurley didn't have a lot of yards on the ground.
No.
They just got goal line carries. But if you're on the fantasy team, you're like, okay, that's okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
But you're right. It felt like the better team through here was Seattle, even though the tight score, I thought. Lockett starts it off with that toe. Like, it looked like Wilson's throwing the ball away.
What a delicious catch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I watched that thing live, and I was just like, I gasped.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe that was a fucking catch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really did. You're like, oh, yeah, Russ, good job getting that ball.
Yeah, just get rid of it.
Touchdown?
Play another down, and nope. I'm going to take my points right now.
Goddamn.
Him and Lockett are always great to connect up to. And then they fed the ball to Chris Carson, 118 rushing yards. And didn't matter how bright green their uniforms were, they couldn't be stopped.
God, as a uniform guy, it's disgusting, right? Those are disgusting uniforms.
For one game, I'll take it. For one game against a Rams team that is in between uniforms in such a weird way, I'm like, all right, Seattle.
See, to me, that's like, it's so bad that you saying that is like, I went to a lovely dinner, and in between, instead of a sorbet, they farted in my mouth. And you're like, but it was a change of pace.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so fucking gross. These
Something
are terrible
different.
Jerseys.
And then, okay, so a little bit more in this game. There was another bad roughing call on Matthews,
yeah,
which he just, I guess that's
can't.
What happens with him. No, couldn't even escape it coming to LA, but yeah, keeps the drive going. It was so silly. Like, Russell Wilson's running down there. You see that all the time where the quarterback is like, I'm buying time. All right, I'm going to get rid of it. Or, all right, I'm going to try to fit it in this hole, this window. And the defender that's been chasing the whole time is pissed off about that and is like, I'm going to shove this guy no matter what.
Yeah.
That's not what this one was. This one was he was on him, and it was pretty much a boom, boom play.
Yeah.
And they still threw the flag. And it's like, that's not football. Come on.
You got to let the game be played. Mm-hmm. You just have to. So many of these little dinky-dunky motherfucking things where you're just like, it didn't hurt him. It wasn't going to hurt him.
No.
A play like that happening every single time won't take any years off the guy's career. Like, that's what this is supposed to be.
Right.
It's like, roughing is supposed to prevent you taking time off a guy's career. Because that's what it really does. Every time you hit a guy in the head, every time you go at a guy's knees, like, those are the things that take time off a guy's career.
Yeah.
Just following through on a tackle.
When the player is well out of the pocket and he knows the risk he's
taking.
You know the
score. Yeah. You know this. If you don't want to get hit, get rid of it sooner.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
you waited to the last minute, and at the last minute you're going to get some type of hit.
I mean, it's a little gamesmanship at this point from the quarterback. So, like, I'm going to hold on to this because taking a lick is worth 15 yards to them because they know they're not even going to get hit real bad. If I'm a defender, I'm going to go get my fucking money's worth.
I guess you're right, yeah. Seattle has the ball with that one-point lead up around midfield here, and they could have salted it away. Weren't able to, which is a big word for the Rams, who, yes, they gave up 30 points in this game, but Aaron Donald was still all over the field, too.
He really was.
Russell Wilson has to be having nightmares about 99. But this was a huge NFC West game that's going to probably end up being a big part of who wins this division, which is a very good division outside of the Cardinals.
It's true. So we're at the point now where it's like the 49ers are still technically the lead dog
right
here. It doesn't feel that way because of this game that we just had between these two teams where I'm like, man, the Rams are better than I thought. These fucking Seahawks have been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers still haven't really played anybody.
Yeah.
But
no,
they're
4-0.
They're 4-0.
Right. They're undefeated.
You can't take that away from them. This is going back to when the NFC West, if you remember years ago, was just a fucking murderer's row.
Yeah.
It's good. It's
and
good
that
to have
was
back
when the Rams were kind of mediocre. Now the Rams are pretty good. They got a great offense and an offensive-minded coach. Got Seattle, who is still kicking around. You kind of expected them to have some type of a down couple of years here, but with Russell Wilson and his youth, he's going to keep dragging them along.
He really does.
And the surprise is the Niners. The Niners are finally playing up to their caliber. Which so this was a Monday night game, and yes, it should be in the 2 minute. No offense, but give me pause. We're going to do a quick one at game two, and we need to because
we haven't given San Francisco enough credit.
No, it was a great game. So first of all, Browns 3, 49ers 31.
Wasn't even
Monday
that close.
Football. And also we need to go back, and Dan, you picked the Seahawks right. I picked the Rams wrong. I am 0-5
Yeah.
In Thursday night football games.
You're beating me everywhere else, but Thursday, I am the king of Thursdays.
I can't get it right either way. I mean, this was a one score difference, but still, don't listen to me when it comes to Thursday night
games.
Oh,
don't worry, Scott. It's Patriots Giants this week, so you better get it fucking right.
Let's see. I'll be the bad news for the Patriots here. But I did get the Monday night one right over you because you took the Browns on the road. The Niners come up big, and it wasn't even a game. Mayfield looked awful, two interceptions. Chubb, 99 total yards from scrimmage. He didn't blow up as much as he did last time, but it was Garoppolo, Burita. It was a great-looking all-around game for these 49ers.
And the interesting thing about it is that we talked about it before. These fucking Browns are a home-run ball team.
Yeah.
And that hurts them with the defense that they've got because their defense isn't bad.
No, their defense is keeping them in these games.
But their defense is the only thing, like, they just keep getting gassed because every time the Browns have an ineffective drive, it's three plays.
Yeah.
Every time the Browns have an effective drive, it's five plays.
Right.
So yeah. When you're playing that sort of offense, when you're playing that style of attack, you've got to either hope that you put a team down early so far that it doesn't matter. Mm. And they're just, you know, playing the pass the entire time and your defense can rotate in and out. When you play like this and your defense is like in a game, you're killing them.
Are we getting to that point now where we need to discuss this is still the Cleveland Browns? Yes, they surprised us last year with like a 7-8-1 record or something like that.
They were right there.
But now we have to take a step back and go, this is still the Cleveland Browns. They haven't won anything, and Baker Mayfield could just be another bottomed-out first-round quarterback for these Browns.
So Baker Mayfield is interesting. Baker Mayfield went 8-for-22 in this game, and he was shell-shocked early. They were down 21-3, and at 21-3, you're like, there is no coming back from
this. Well, one of those, I think it was 7-0, 14-0, and again, he's throwing it 30 yards down the field in the middle of the field, and he's well behind his wide receiver, and it's picked off by
Sherman,
thank you, which is a whole other story we'll hit on in a second. But, yeah, I mean, that play alone, I was like, yep, this is Browns being Browns this year.
Yep, that's Browns what going they were. Brown.
The second one wasn't his fault where he throws it low and Callaway just goes, here, Niners, take Callaway, the ball.
That was such a bummer. God. You're like, this is actually a good drive. Like,
yeah, they're going to score here. They'll make this a game. I got something to watch tonight, and it's over.
And yeah, that was the thing. That was, to me, the nail in the coffin because at that point, the Browns came unhinged, and they couldn't get anything done.
To midfield, know, and the return, you're at the goal line. Ugh. So because of, that stuff, the Browns just fell behind so fast, you're right, and then couldn't do anything to come back. Even with all these weapons, even with all this excitement, Beckham is well below his average when he was with the Giants here. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's a poorly coordinated offense.
It's on Kitchens.
It's on Kitchens. This is a poorly coordinated offense because you're doing one of two things. If you're letting Baker Mayfield go for the home run ball every fucking time, that's on the coordinator.
Yeah.
He's not Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't get the ability to open the fucking reins on this fucking offense and do whatever he wants. You've got to earn that shit. One relatively good year as a rookie does not earn you that shit.
No.
You show me an MVP, you show me a Super Bowl, you do whatever the fuck you want offensively. Aaron Rodgers was drawing up plays in the dirt. Peyton Manning was like, here, let me go to the chalkboard. Let me pull a chalkboard into the middle of the field and explain this to you fucking guys.
Let me ask you now then, would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Daniel Jones?
I'd rather have a Daniel Jones. So I gave Daniel Jones a legit first-round grade.
Right, and remember, Baker was a second. I remember
so
that.
So I do want to talk about this because you have to give a grade in a vacuum.
Okay.
If that doesn't make any sense to anybody, it means that you can't just be like, well, he's a first-rounder for this first-round class.
Because there's a lot of, less talent or et cetera.
Yeah, if you've got a really talented class, you may have 30 first-rounders or you may have 40 first-rounders. You may have 10 first-rounders. You've still got to pick 32 fucking guys in the first round. So in this particular case, I gave Daniel Jones a legit first-round grade, mid to late, but a first-round grade. I gave Baker Mayfield an early second.
Okay.
That's an immediate upgrade over with Daniel Jones because Daniel Jones does the one thing Baker Mayfield doesn't, run a capable offense.
Baker Mayfield or Gardner Minshew?
Still Baker Mayfield. Okay. Gardner Minshew. I like Gardner Minshew, but Baker Mayfield is more talented than Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is really impressive, though.
All right, let's talk about these Niners. The one thing they don't come out of here unscathed, and it's weird to say it, but big loss here is Juszczyk Am I saying that right? Just check.
Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, Kyle Juszczyk has an MCL injury. They're saying it could be 4 to 6 weeks. He's trying to get a second opinion. He wants to be in there sooner. But he's a big weapon on their offense, like him and Kittle are.
They use the fullback really, really well, and Juszczyk is a really solid fullback in that role. But there are enough weapons on this 49ers team that if it's not a season-ending injury, when he comes back, it's just yet another arrow in the quiver.
That's weird that we're saying that, because if you look at their wide receiver core, it's a bunch of young guys. It's nobody who's exciting. There's no Beckhams. There's no Landrys. You know, they're all the tier below those things. But
we talked about how impressive their draft was this year, getting Debo Samuel, having Dante Pettis from last year, which is really solid.
Good.
Matt Breida is a good running back. Imagine if they had the full stable of running backs that they came into the year with. They'd be even better.
And then finally, there's this rumor going around here with the opening of the game and handshakes.
Oh, this is stupid.
It was very stupid. Sherman comes out there saying, well, Baker didn't shake anyone's hand, so we're all pissed at him. And then a video comes out and goes, well, no, he did. He shook your hand at the beginning.
Specifically.
And then Sherman afterwards being like, well, all this is silly anyways. Like, yes, Sherman, it
you
is.
Did this.
Stop making it so silly. Dumb. I mean, I guess like they walked up and they shook hands before the coin flip, and then at the end of the coin flip, instead of standing around and shaking hands again, they just took off to the sidelines, and that's the shit. But that's kind of silly. What I did kind of like is Nick Bosa, all over Baker Mayfield in that backfield all game long, and a move that Baker did to him in college 2 years ago
after the game. Baker Mayfield planted the OU flag in the center of
the other OU.
So he planted the OU flag in the center of Ohio State's field. And I have some family in Cleveland that are big Browns fans, and when Baker Mayfield got drafted, they didn't forgive him. He carried that shit over. They're like, Ohio State forever, fuck you, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, especially because that's Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, and so Nick Bosa doing that, being like, hey, I remember. You know, Nick Bosa, the whole Bosa family is probably insane. Mm. We talked about how Nick Bosa is probably a lunatic.
Yeah.
That's the sort of fuel that you need to be absolutely teed up for the entire game, and he certainly was.
So if you're a Browns fan, if you're an Ohioan, what's your thoughts on that move? Like, yeah, that I want to cheer for it, but I shouldn't.
If you're an Ohioan, you have to be able to separate college from the pros. If you can't, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, you're not going to draft a guy who was really good at Michigan, you know? Like, If you're the Browns and Tom Brady becomes available, you're like, no, he went to Michigan. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So you hate it when he's in college, but then you look back on it and you kind of take the names off the jerseys. You take the schools off the jerseys. You're
cheering for that logo.
Planting a flag. I like that. He's a guy that plants a flag.
Okay.
Now, you don't say, like, planted a flag directly through my heart. You know, I'm a Michigan fan. And Ezekiel Elliott, when he was available, I was like, this motherfucker's delicious. You know, I watched him run all over us and beat the shit out of us. I didn't like that, but I like him.
All right. So that's plenty of time to spend on a 31-3 blowout for the Niners. Let's talk about, so the reason why I had to throw this game in there is the Rams play the 49ers. It's in L.A. What are our thoughts on this one?
The Rams and 49ers are going to be interesting. I'm going to give it to the Niners.
Ooh.
I'm going to give it to the Niners. I'm intrigued by this. I like the way Garoppolo ran this game. Seemed very efficient. You're going to have to get the ball way the fuck out of your hands really quickly.
Yeah.
There's enough speed at the wide receiver position that I think it's going to be a problem for the cover corners there in L.A. Yeah. I think they're fast enough, and I think they're good enough. I think there's enough weapons, and they can spread them out, that this isn't going to be like a game with 30-yard bombs, 40-yard bombs. It's going to be a lot of like slow, trickling, bleeding the 49ers are doing it, people.
I'm glad you bring up the secondary of the Rams. Jason Peters is not the player I thought he was 2 years ago now.
No.
And it's not, is that?
Jason Peters is the not, offensive tackle.
Yeah, Peters.
Marcus Peters.
Marcus Peters. I was like, that first name's not right. Marcus Peters, yes. Because
Jason Peters is good.
Jason Peters is a different player than Marcus Peters, so that's why they're very different. But no, I saw that, and that's true, and he's been lacking there. This Rams offense is too high-powered, and at home, I'm going to take them. So I'll be against you here. I'm going to take the Rams in this one. But an exciting game.
Trying to make
game.
Up for sleeping on these Niners.
Right, and it's another game that's going to be huge for this division, and the Rams just lost one, so they need it. They need it bad. All right, and then the Seahawks play the Browns. You see how this works. They play the same teams. So the Seahawks go to Cleveland. They're playing the Browns.
I mean, I've been a big Seahawks fan all year. I continue to be a big Seahawks fan. Now, these Browns go 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
we've got ourselves a problem. Do you remember that quote by Odell Beckham? Yeah, I'm a problem if you're okay with losing.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you, Cleveland? Yeah, how you feeling?
We're about to find out.
Yeah, you're about to go 2-4. How are things?
Browns have a real tough stretch of games going on right now. So it begins here, yeah, with the Seahawks coming to town. So I like the Seahawks, too. I like the Seahawks coming into Cleveland. Cleveland hasn't shown that they're ready to play with all the toys that they went and got in this offseason. So until they do, I will take Seattle as well. All right, let's talk about the overtime game. This is the other one that was up there for game of the week. It really was.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens sneak out a win in Pittsburgh, 26-23. Some contrition in this one. I guess we got to start with that, huh?
Mason Rudolph. So there's a few times you can see a guy. We used to call it the spaghetti man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because somebody hits you and you immediately go al dente.
On his feet.
He was knocked completely unconscious because he got caught right in the chin.
Yeah.
Like when you see it happen to boxers, you're like, oh, of course. When you see it happen to football players, you're like, oh, it is the same fucking thing, isn't it? You got hit with a helmet in the chin.
Yeah.
Good fucking night. Mason Rudolph was out cold. He looked dead for a little bit.
Well, and Steelers fans were saying it. I think Juju thought it the way he ran up and then fell to his knees. Yeah. It was like, oh, God, this is just scary to watch. He gets helped off the field because they can't get the cart to work.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's an embarrassment. It really is. And then he's carried off with the face mask removed from his helmet. And then the NFL tries to come back a day later and go, oh, no, he didn't need it. Then why are you taking his face mask off his helmet, NFL?
Yeah.
I don't believe a second of that.
That's to supply oxygen.
Yeah.
If you're giving a motherfucker oxygen,
don't make him walk.
Yeah, don't make him walk. He needs to conserve his energy.
Jesus.
They were like, oh, Mason Rudolph wanted to walk off. I'm like, Mason Rudolph thought he was in the 1960s. Mm. Mason Rudolph was pushed back in time by that hit. He had no idea. He would have rather breathed pure nitrogen. He had no fucking clue.
So tell me the name of the guy that they brought in after Mason Rudolph.
Giuseppe Schlomos.
I didn't write it down either. I mean, he didn't have to play for a lot of the game, but he's probably going to need to play here continuing now.
It's Devlin Hodges. Where the fuck did he even come from? I can't even remember his college.
As you're looking that up, I'll give you some stats here. Jackson, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. It was a bad day for him, too.
Yeah.
In fact, he... 2 of the 3 interceptions were off of other players' hands. Mm-hmm. Got to give him that credit. But one of them was an awful one. And he also had only 2 passes completed over 8 yards in this game.
This was an ugly game, but it was a game that they abso-fucking-lutely had to win. You could not lose 3 straight games.
You're talking Ravens.
For the Ravens.
Which is weird to think, that they did lose their last two.
Yeah. So this is one of those things where, like, you're going into this, you probably still have a pretty definitive lead now in the AFC North. The AFC North, by the way, looks like a real piece of shit division this year.
Oh, yeah. No, they're the opposite of the NFC North. There has to be that type of back and forth.
Yeah.
Steelers D had 5 sacks in this game, so maybe they're getting in Jackson's head a little bit.
Devlin Hodges out of Samford.
That's right. Samford. Thank you.
And Sons.
It was 17-3 Ravens at the half. It was a tight game. The Steelers were moving the ball. They just kept settling for too many field goals, and you can't do that at home. It leaves that door open.
It's funny because I think if Big Ben was in there, these Steelers would probably be pretty solid.
Yeah.
It seems like every other position.
Surprising, kind of, right?
Yeah, every other position for this Pittsburgh team seems like they're hitting on all cylinders. But the quarterback position is a real drastic position of need for them. Mason Rudolph did a good enough job in the 2 games that he's out. I don't think the NFL is going to be able to let him play this week.
No, you're right.
I don't think they can do that. I don't think you can, in good conscience, be like, yeah, you remember that guy that was knocked unconscious so quickly he almost died? He's back in there. He's fine.
They get a little bit more time Sunday night football, but no, the Steelers are in trouble with who they're going to put out their quarterback now. It goes to overtime. This game is tied at 23 for overtime. Tomlin and the Steelers win the coin toss, and he goes, I'm going to kick it. This doesn't happen much, and even with the change in the rules, it doesn't happen much. Tomlin's explanation was, you know, obviously they didn't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I felt like if we got the ball, we would have been 3 and out on our side, punt the ball to the Ravens with good field position. This way our defense could do something, maybe make a turnover here or there. Defense actually did stop him. We had the ball switch hands back and forth, And until Juju fumbles in overtime, gave the Ravens that short field, which allowed him to get the
game. Juju fumbles too much in critical situations, Juju.
Yep, yep.
Got to figure that out, buddy. I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
Because you're like, well, we're going to make the defense ring the bell. Yeah, but if the defense doesn't ring the bell, you had the opportunity to win the game or at least give it a shot, and you declined.
That's right. You're on the hook for that call. Now,
this felt like we play to tie the game. Mm-hmm. That's how this felt to me, and I don't like it.
If you're the Steelers and you had that stuff happen to you after this game, then maybe you're like, yeah, let's get out of here with what we can. But
yeah,
it wasn't enough. The Ravens take this one. They do lose Tony Jefferson, their safety for the year, ACL. Yeah. And on the other side, the Steelers lost their running back, Jalen Samuels, for at least a month with a knee injury.
Which sucks, but he's also not their primary back. So he's their split cow with James Conner.
Their emergency quarterback, which they kind of need.
Oh, boy.
So we'll have to see what the Steelers do moving forward.
We're going to Pittsburgh.
First of all, let's talk about the afternoon game of the Broncos and the Chargers. Broncos get their first win of the season.
What a 20, shock.
Chargers 13. Yeah, we both had the Chargers winning this one at their quote-unquote home. But Denver took the lead early in this one. Chargers did their best to come back, but Denver was always with the lead once they took it. Lindsey, 147 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. That was strong for him.
That's the danger. Playing the Denver Broncos is like playing tic-tac-toe.
Okay.
If you fuck up once, you lose. Because that defense is so good. It's such a good fucking defense. If you just play it normally, you won't lose.
Yeah.
If you play it well, you won't lose. If you fuck up once, you will lose because they don't make that mistake.
Well, this one was 17-0 Broncos, and the Chargers still came back and brought it within a score. So there's still a little fear there, and obviously they're playing without Chubb, but this is a supposed to be defensive-touted team, and you have the new defensive head coach, and you can't keep these Chargers away from putting it up. It was mostly like Rivers made the mistakes. He had two interceptions, and that just was too much to get over.
So he had two interceptions, but he threw the ball 48 fucking times,
and
he only had 211 yards. That's real good coverage. Mm. That's really good coverage. So if a guy's going to take 48 shots at you and you only give up 211, that's a good job by the defense. Melvin Gordon had less than 40 yards.
Yep.
You know,
they didn't have a running game, and they had to go away from it too fast.
Yeah, so this to me was a very strong defensive performance by the Denver Broncos. Joe Flacco was utterly average in every possible fucking way, which is exactly what they wanted when they got Joe Flacco. So this was like a bill of goods. It's like, imagine if you were like, hey, I bought like 1,000 eggs. I'm expecting 200 of them to be broken.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Joe Flacco is at this point. You're like, I know there's broken eggs in that carton. I know it. Oh, wait, I got 20 consecutive unbroken eggs?
I might pull out a little win here.
Yeah, how about
and
this?
And they do. It makes me all the more worried about the Chargers this season. I don't know if they've got it. They don't look as good as they did last year, even with the talent that's still on this team. I'm a little worried about them, and saying I'm a little worried about them, we can lead into the Sunday night football game. Steelers at Chargers.
I think the Chargers are going to win this one. The Steelers do not have a quarterback. Eventually, I will say this, eventually Derwin James will come back.
Okay.
And when Derwin James comes back, that defense takes a little ratchet up.
That's
eventually,
very
true. Melvin Gordon will get back into the swing of things, and then the offense takes a ratchet up. This Chargers team is not a Chargers team at full strength. Like, they're not fully charged yet.
Oh.
To, you know, please ignore the pun. When they get fully charged, I am more afraid of them.
Yeah.
This Steelers team is a team that is full of a bunch of good young talent that will not do anything this year and probably will be fine with that. Hopefully they will add another elite defensive or offensive talent somewhere in the top 10 of the draft next year.
Yeah, but the Mason Rudolph.
No, they can't do that because they traded it to fucking Miami. So Miami
Denver,
is ecstatic.
What? Oh, that's right. They traded Miami, yeah.
For Minka Fitzpatrick.
For Minka Fitzpatrick.
Miami's fucking thrilled. Miami's watching Mason Rudolph get knocked unconscious like, yeah, yeah.
This is a win for us this year. Yippee. That's the Miami Dolphins, yep. No, you're right. The Chargers should get healthy. The Steelers just keep getting less healthy. James Washington left with an injury in this one, too. I mean, they don't have enough weapons to keep losing guys like this, so we'll see how they do, but yeah, I like Chargers. Sunday Night Football, at the health whatever arena thing they play in.
The Health and Wawatsits High School field.
That's right. Let's talk about the winless versus winless game that happened. Cardinals versus Bengals. Cardinals 26, Bengals 23. Cardinals get their first win.
Sloppy, but a lot of fun.
So we got Vic Fangio getting his first win. Congrats to Vic, and then congrats to the youthful man there in Arizona.
Little Mr. Pretty Boy.
That's right. I'm wasting time trying to remember his name.
Who gives a fuck?
Anyways.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Thank you. Kingsbury gets the win.
Little KK.
Murray, I put his stats down just because he had 93 rushing yards. He did not really throw the ball too well in this game. Had a passing touchdown, though. Dalton, two touchdowns, but it's just not enough. And yes, the Bengals are missing a lot of talent too. They have in their own problems with injuries here. But we thought the Bengals were going to be able to take this at home against a pretty weak and toothless Cardinals team. But when you can't do that, it's going to be a long season for the Bengals.
This is a talent deficient Bengals team.
Mm-hmm.
This is also a talent deficient Arizona Cardinals team. Kyler Murray is proving to me that he has enough talent to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of talent. They're also running the entire offense through him.
Mm.
And it seems like the Bengals were unprepared for that shit.
I know.
They're like, this guy's going to throw the ball and run a lot? It's like, what the fuck have you been watching?
Yeah, where's your tape?
You know, this. If the Bengals wind up going 0-16, and there's a legit chance they might do that. They still, you know, they play the Steelers one more time, and we'll see what the fuck happens with the Browns. But if they go 0-16, Zach Taylor's probably going to lose his job.
You think
because
so? Because
these
one.
Bengals also look like shit.
Well, and that's the thing. Zach Taylor took this job, and it was one of the last ones that could get filled outside of Miami. There just wasn't too much excitement for the Bengals and how it was left.
But it was an average team.
It was an average team. You're right. I mean, that was the thing about their previous head coach.
Oh, yeah, Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis. Not good with the name so far.
Yeah, it's all right.
Marvin Lewis... could always be, you know, good for an
7-9, 8-8.
Yeah, season.
9-7, we're in the playoffs, bouncing the first round.
Steps back here. That's very true. Now, I want, though, the head coach to get a chance to get his guys in place. I mean, Mixon had 109 total yards from scrimmage. Boyd had 123 yards and a touchdown here. So there's talent around there, even with A.J. Green not being healthy so far this whole season. So it's hard to blame it all on the coach here, as you can with losses like the Cleveland loss we saw. So I'm not sure it's all against the new head coach yet, but both these teams, a lot of settling for field goals in this game. There wasn't you weren't seeing the best versus the best even.
No, this was a real slap fight. It was still fun though.
It was 23-9 Cardinals at one point.
This was still fun. I still enjoyed this game. I enjoyed watching the Bengals try to claw their way back.
They came back. They tied it in the fourth. That was exciting.
But in the end, you know, when you're running at that, you know, amperage for most of the second half of the game, just to try to claw your way back into this fucking things, you run out of juice. They basically scored 14 points in the final, and then that's it. And then you're done. You know you're done. You know you're out of juice. You know they're just going to fucking take this down the field on you and score it finally.
That's what it was. Murray takes off, gets him in field goal range for Zane Gonzalez. He was 4-for-5 and hits the game winner. So the Cardinals get to celebrate a little bit here. They lost their owner this week. Bill Bidwell passed away at the age of 88. He was the longest tenured owner in the NFL at the time.
Yeah, his son Michael's a real fuckface.
Uh-oh. Really? Yeah. It's been family-owned since 33, so it just takes over to Michael, right?
Yeah, so Michael becomes he was basically the owner, he was the acting owner.
Okay.
And Bill Bidwell was like, I'm just going to eat soup. and Michael Bidwell took care of the day-to-day operations, but Bidwell was a big Kavanaugh supporter. He was one of those sorts of guys that's like, I was like, I'm special because I was born with money. He never earned anything.
At least, so if you're telling me he's been in place here, I don't know much about the ownership side of things. It makes sense because the switchover that Keim did with this team and how much we were questioning, like, what are you doing exactly after last year's draft and now this year's draft? Is there a plan at all in place? We said there wasn't one. It's all sitting there on Keim here. He's got to get fired if this thing doesn't work out in this year or the next year.
So there's a part of me that worries that Keim bought himself another year.
Yeah.
By being like, I brought in a new coach and a new quarterback. Let me see this through.
Yeah.
You know, he just seems like a begging man. He just seems like a real piece of shit.
What was with Wilkes? Where were you doing with
him? Yeah, exactly. Like, well, I just needed a year, and then I'm going to trade him in for somebody else.
Yeah.
But this team is already better than last year's team. Already.
Yeah.
That's how bad these fucking Cardinals are.
They were.
How bad they've been.
Yeah, they were a laughing stock last year. At least you're right. This year they've got some young talent that you're like, okay, that's exciting. So we'll
see how that goes. They're 1-3-1. That's, it's not good, but it's not the worst. They're not the Bengals.
And speaking of the Bengals, thank you for the segue. They go to Baltimore. They're playing the Ravens.
So the Ravens, I know, are on a bit of a downslide right now, but this is a great opportunity for them to get healthy against a division rival. I got to go with Baltimore. I got to go with my boy Lamar. Hopefully his wide receivers will be able to hang on to the goddamn ball this week, and he'll have some nice stats.
Raven,
and they just didn't do well against a running quarterback. Let's give him a better one.
That's right. Yeah, when they played the Cardinals and it was head-to-head with that, the Ravens and the Cardinals already played each other, and we saw that happening. Here we go. The Ravens at home, yeah, they can put up points in bunches, and their defense should be fine against a banged-up Bengals team. I like the Ravens here. Bengals, are we seeing the end of...
Andy Dalton? Absolutely. Andy Dalton's at a point in his career where he was the average. Like, if you're better than Andy Dalton...
The Dalton line.
Yeah, the Dalton line was like, if you're better than Andy Dalton, you're good. If you're worse than Andy Dalton, you're probably getting replaced. If you're Andy Dalton, who knows?
Do you ship him off to Pittsburgh so they have somebody to play next week?
No. So, you're also at the point where Andy Dalton's not really like a fucking asset either.
No.
You know, because Andy Dalton's contract, while not like onerous... I don't want to absorb any of it this year.
Because he's a stopgap guy for anybody.
He's a stopgap guy, and he's a stopgap guy who doesn't even have the Joe Flacco Super Bowl pedigree. Mm. So you're basically saying, okay, I got, what is it, 2 more years? I got this year and next year on his contract. I'm going to have to eat a lot of that, even though he's only a $17 million cap hit next year.
Yeah.
Still, you got to eat that? I'm not going to want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that at all.
Well, we'll see what happens then with him. But, yeah, we like the Ravens for week 6. All right, let's talk about one more game here before the break. The Atlanta Falcons go into Houston, and Houston puts up a 50-burger. It's 32-53. We both took this one. The game was tight, honestly, and a one-score game up until the end.
Luckily, the one true God rose, took his true shining form. He was marvelous.
Oh, yeah, 5 touchdowns, 426 yards. And he found Will Fuller for 3 of them. Will Fuller had a great game.
The V!
17 yards from scrimmage. No, this was an offense that was like, ooh, can we play the Atlanta Falcons defense every week? Pretty please.
Dan Quinn is going to get fucking fired within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Quinn, to me, is the next head to roll.
It makes sense because the Falcons have so... We've said it every week. They've had so much talent. They keep coming up this far behind. You got embarrassed by the Titans at home last week, and then you come into Houston and you really... I mean, you
were injured. Who's injured for the Falcons? Nobody.
I know.
Who's injured?
If anything,
what's your fucking excuse?
Yeah, like last year, everybody was out.
Everybody was injured.
That's not the case this year, you're right, and they're still kind of coming up short here. This was another scoregami.
Oh.
Never happened, 32-53. Matt Ryan, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception here, 330 yards passing. Matt Ryan putting up Matt Ryan stats, but just
they're
not
pointless.
Enough.
They're pointless numbers.
They are when your defense gives up 53 points.
Matt Ryan is now a wealthier Blake Bortles,
mm-hmm.
where he's putting up stats, but it doesn't fucking matter.
It was 32-40. It was 32-40 at one point, but
doesn't matter.
You can't stop anybody on that defense,
nope.
which is wild. But
your defense gives up 40 fucking points, and you're Dan Quinn, former defensive coordinator.
You're supposed to be that guy, yeah.
Whose hat? What hook are you hanging your hat on, buddy? Because your defense is a complete crack of shit.
Oof.
And you fired the D coordinator so you could take more control over the defense, so you could get more fucked up?
Yeah, so you're worse with the healthy players that you drafted.
It's nice, though, because when Dan Quinn gets fired, nobody's going to be like, well, if only they'd given him another chance. It's like, he's had a lot of fucking chances.
True.
And this team just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. This was a Mike Smith team that was on the border of a Super Bowl. Then he gets fired. Then Dan Quinn brings him back.
Yeah, took him there under a Matt Ryan MVP year, though.
Yeah.
We got to remember that Matt Ryan was blowing it up here. And again, Dan Quinn, defensive minded, you know.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah, he gets fired from here. Does he even get an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator again?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
So that's the one thing that being a bad head coach doesn't do to you. It doesn't keep you from going back and being good at the thing you were good at in the first place. A lot of defensive coordinators that are terrible head coaches go back and become really good defensive coordinators. Wade Phillips, a good example. There's a lot of good D coordinators and offensive coordinators that just can't handle
the full thing. Yeah.
The full thing. Todd Haley was a pretty good offensive coordinator for a while. He went back and he kept getting jobs. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're always going to have work if you've been a head coach. Not because they think, oh, you're a future potential head coach, but they're like, this guy knows enough of the stresses and enough of the processes. He may be able to smooth some things out.
So Dan Quinn going to be on the hot seat, especially if he loses this week in Arizona. It's Falcons at Cardinals.
I am taking the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
I am taking Dan Quinn getting fucking fired more than I am taking the Arizona Cardinals being fucking bad. And you know how bad I think the Cardinals are.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, this is a coin flip game. I'll take Cardinals at home here, too. They're yeah. coming off a win. If anything, they'll clean up the mistakes that they had last week, get a little bit better. I feel like I'm kind of seeing that from the Cardinals. Maybe they're getting a yeah. little bit better each week. The Falcons are a mess.
They're basically doing what the young Carolina Panthers did, where they're like, this guy might be pretty fucking good. Mm-hmm. Let's just let him do whatever the fuck he wants. Let's yeah. figure it out. We'll get him some weapons later. Andy Isabella hasn't really answered the bell. Christian Kirk looks all right. But and Larry Fitzgerald's like, I'm going to catch 7 balls for 80 yards every single game.
Larry Fitzgerald's doing what he can for him. They got Keyshawn Johnson. No, the other one. And he's fine, too.
Yeah.
We'll see how they go. So, yeah, we both like the Cardinals to keep beating up on these hapless Falcons.
God, poor Falcons.
All right, let's take a break. There's plenty more games to talk about, but we gotta get ready for those games. Let's take a break right here, and when we return, 2 Minute No Offense and all the fun. Stick right with us. We are so glad you did. This is the
way. It makes me want to creep. Damn, I'm such a G, it's pathetic. Here comes the big-headed.
Thanks for sticking with us. We're back from the break, which means it's time for the 2 Minute No Offense.
Because no offense, but if you find yourself in this position in our show, it means that your kicker missed 4 fucking field goals.
Oh, yeah. Rough couple here. It was a little bit tougher to find these games this week.
This is a good
week.
I'll
be honest about it. Yeah, there were some tight games. But we found him. Don't worry. We found him.
Don't worry. There's always shit if you look hard enough.
Start that clock for
and
me.
And ready to go.
Got to start with a Jets game. Jets 6, Eagles 31. Both picked it. Oh, Jets are just unwatchable.
The Jets are very bad. Sam Darnold's coming back, though, so we'll see what that does. I think it will make them slightly less putrid.
I'm okay with that. Come on back, Sam Darnold. Please change around this football in New York. Eagles D had 7 sacks and a pick 6 in this
game.
Yeah,
they absolutely looked like no one in New York wanted to play this game at all. No. Luke Falk's like, please stop.
Yeah, leave him alone. Yeah. All right, then the Bills beat the Titans, which neither of us picked. We both had the Titans in this one. Bills 14, Titans 7.
This is a real piece of shit game, and this is where a kicker misses 4 field goals, and you get walked the fuck out the door the next day.
Cairo Santos, come on, 0 for 4. Now 2 of them over 50, 2 of them under 40.
Yeah, so that's the thing. You miss those 2 over 50s, you probably still have a job.
The game was 7-0 at halftime. I couldn't keep my eyes open.
No, it was very bad.
Tied at 7 into the fourth.
Ugh, God, it was brutal. This was a terrible fucking game. Ugh, I hate the Bills still. Like, the defense is pretty fucking good.
They had 5 sacks.
But Tennessee's also pretty fucking inept every once in a while. Like, Tennessee shits the bed every other week.
That's the Titans.
So inconsistent.
And then finally, the Patriots beat up on the Redskins 33-7, and they get that opportunity to say goodbye, Jay Gruden.
We're really trying to not put Patriots games in the 2 Minute No Offense, but they keep doing this.
Now this one, yeah, and we'll lean into it because I think the clock, oh God, we got plenty of time.
Yeah,
we've
got a lot of time.
It was 12-7 at the half, Patriots.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, tight. This is a tight one. This is going to be good.
And then the second half was all Patriots. It was just like, oh, okay. They made their adjustments as they do.
The first half is for scheme. The second half is for talent.
Yeah.
That's, if you want to think about it that way, first half is for scheme, second half is for talent. Oh, my God, this Redskins team is so untalented. The Patriots team just absolutely rolled them the whole way through. My God, Jay Gruden deserved to be fired out of a cannon into the sun.
That's what we're looking at with these 2 Minute No Offense games. Jets, where everybody's injured, you just can't put together. And the Redskins, who got nothing anymore. They just got nothing. So we got a couple winless teams in there. But yeah, let's spend a little bit of time on this game. Patriots, I mean, they're going to be up there again. I know that
they're 5-0.
A lot of the teams that they played are yawns of teams. I mean, they've already had a chance to play the Jets and the Dolphins and now the Redskins. These are winless teams.
Yeah.
If they keep this going, they're going to have the easiest route to the Super Bowl ever.
They already play the Jets and the Dolphins twice a year.
Yeah.
And now you also throw the fucking Redskins their way? Come on, that's not fair.
Even in Washington. But, okay, so Jay Gruden gets the axe here, which was talked about last week when it was like,
it could happen last year.
And they're like, no, he's our guy. Well, okay, well, now we're in trouble.
I sent you a text because there was literally two news stories. There was like, Jay Gruden unconcerned about job, Jay Gruden fired.
Yep, boom, boom. Also interesting that some videos of him partying and smoking and talking to young girls shows up at that round that time, too.
If I'm Jay Gruden, I'm like, thank God, because at least that makes me look kind of cool. Like, being a Washington Redskins head coach, being fired by the Washington Redskins was like when I got fired from Sears.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a real sinking ship. They're like, we no longer have a plan for you in the organization. I'm like, you don't have a fucking plan for the organization.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Of course you don't have a plan for me. You don't have a plan for fucking refilling the vending machines. You know, this is such a badly run organization that's not going to change. That's not going to change. What coach is going to want to come coach these Washington Redskins?
Right. A bad organization started Colt McCoy at quarterback in this game because they had no other options. It's like you traded for Case Keenum.
Yeah.
You drafted a first-round quarterback that's not ready. It's obvious he's not ready, and he doesn't know how to read defenses yet, Dwayne Haskins. So you put Colt McCoy out there again to feed the beasts of the Patriots defense. It's not watchable football they're putting up.
No.
But that is par for the course for Washington and that organization.
If you're a Redskins fan, these are the darkest days,
yeah,
I think. Which is a bummer because the days have been pretty dark. And that this is
since
the darkest
the early
time.
90s, yes.
Yeah, you want Dwayne Haskins to be a guy, but the Dwayne Haskins Daniel Jones conversation already is like, ooh, I think they probably made a good choice with Daniel Jones. I want Dwayne Haskins to do well for another team. I want Dwayne Haskins to show off that tremendous arm strength and really be productive for another team. These Washington Redskins should be contracted.
Mm.
We should have another team in the NFC East. I don't know, maybe put him somewhere fucking sensible, like Trenton.
They're handcuffing one of the best left tackles that is in the league, Trent Williams, mm-hmm. to a table out there. And
to
saying,
do what?
Yeah, you can't leave.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to play. Well, that's fine, but you're not going to leave. Because why? You need him? For what?
For what? For your rebuild?
Yeah.
You
know what would be great
for
a rebuild is some draft picks. Fucking get rid of them.
Because it is a poorly run organization.
Yep.
Bruce Allen is a fucking yes man.
Mm-hmm.
And their owner is the worst owner in the league. Dan Snyder is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder is human garbage.
And since Dan Snyder's taken over there, there's just been nothing. Gruden. Oh, first of all, the Redskins go on next week. You know who they're playing?
Who?
The Miami Dolphins.
I think they're going to lose to the Dolphins.
You couldn't even let Gruden get that opportunity to go play a winnable game.
They're going
to
lose to the Dolphins.
And then also, so Gruden finished his career there in Washington 35-50-1. Not great.
No.
He did take him to a playoff berth.
Yeah,
in there
kind
once.
Of luckily.
He has the most wins by any of the head coaches under Dan Snyder, who was 8 different head coaches under Dan Snyder.
There. Isn't that fucking pathetic?
But obviously, he was given the most time in order to do that. I think Marty Schottenheimer finished 8-8 and got fired after one season.
Yeah, Marty's
season
like, I'm the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's fine for me, yeah. A lot of names have come and gone in there. They brought Joe Gibbs back in there. They had Shanahan in there, but
they made Joe Gibbs not want to be a lifelong Redskin.
Yeah, he's. I think I'm done.
Yeah. I'll go back to racing.
So, yeah, you're going to take the Dolphins here.
I'm going to take the Dolphins.
This is a race for who can get that first overall draft pick.
I'm going to take the Dolphins because I feel like the Dolphins at least have a little bit of pride from some of the players.
Mm.
And I feel like these Washington Redskins are just like, fuck me, let me get out of here. Like, Dolphins players have already tried to get out. And the Dolphins players that have tried to get out have been traded if they were talented at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the message they sent. They're like, we're trading people. We're getting you the fuck out of here. If you're talented, you're gone. The Washington Redskins are like, hey, we're talented. Can we go? And they're like, no. Stay in the house. So it eliminates that point of pride to prove anybody wrong.
Yeah.
We know you're talented. We don't give a shit. You're just going to sit here and spin your wheels. Miami, they're like, you're talented. Get the fuck out of here. So all of you other trash bags, go get us a first overall pick. And they're like, no, fuck this. I'd rather get a win. So I feel like the Miami Dolphins are going to buck up, nut up, and get one win.
Go get their one win. I think, yeah, there's a very good chance that whoever loses this game goes that 0-16 route. Because because when's the next chance to win a game for Dolphins and Redskins here? Who plays the Bengals next? I don't know.
The Redskins already got throat fucked by the New York Giants, which were their best chance in division of getting a W at
right,
all.
Right.
So you're going to play the Giants again? They're going to fuck you again?
Like, Jets going to get healthier too. That's not a winnable game then moving forward probably.
Yeah.
You know what though? I'll take the Redskins. I like their defense. And again, I really believe the Dolphins don't want to win anything. Think so.
Yeah, the organization doesn't want to win anything, but the players do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact opposite in Washington.
All right. Other games that we can discuss. The Titans go to Denver. They're playing the Broncos this week.
They're going to Denver. That's tough.
Yeah.
Because like we said before, this Tennessee Titans team is a team that frequently puts the X in the middle instead of the corner or the center. And they're going to fuck it up. So I'm actually going to go with Denver here to get another win in a row with that really smothering defense in Denver.
Yeah, no, I like Denver here too. I think the matchup works well. Titans are going to want to run the ball, and Denver's pretty good at shutting that down. Well, in the past they have been.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see what this Denver team does.
Yeah, I like Denver at home. And then the Bills are on a bye week. Now, they did make a move here. They ended up trading away Zay Jones to the Raiders for a fifth rounder.
Which is strange to me.
It's strange for both teams to be making this move. Like, the Bills are winning, and they kind of need some weapons on offense. They're
and
a little
I
light there.
I feel like the 49ers didn't necessarily need Zay Jones. I feel like their wide receiver
core
was all right.
The Raiders.
Sorry, the Raiders.
Took
my apologies.
The other Bay team.
Yeah, the Raiders feel like you've got Keelan Doss. He seems to be doing pretty well. You feel like you've got enough weapons at the wide receiver position, don't you?
I don't know. Maybe they got banged up or something, but yeah, they're going out for another weapon. And I mean, Zay Jones is in the fifth rounder.
Why are the Buffalo Bills selling if you're 4-1?
Something tells me this trade, and then Zay Jones sees the field a little bit, and then he sits on the bench.
And Zay Jones is also a complete fucking lunatic who kicked out a window like a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So
climbed through that thing naked. Yeah, weird guy. But the Bills and the Raiders are on a bye week this week, so they get some time to figure out this whole Zay Jones scenario.
Zay Jones is like, all right, great, I get a week.
Yeah.
Either way, I get a week.
All right, Dan, let's talk about something that made me quite happy this weekend. The Vikings 28, the Giants 10.
Ooh-doo.
We both took them to do this in New York, and it was well under control here in this one.
You knew it was going to be fine because Kirk Cousins wasn't playing a team with a winning record.
There it is. So this is the weird game. I'm sitting here watching it going, it's a must win because of the shit week we had. After the Bears game, Adam Thielen gets on the mic and says all this stuff about, well, if we can't pass the ball, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, number eight, then we're not going to go anywhere. Number eight takes him on to his podcast, Kirk Cousins, and apologizes to Adam Thielen in the
week.
Because
of course he does.
Yeah, because that's Kirk Cousins. Of course he would. And then Stephon Diggs also takes this opportunity to not come to practice, get fined a bunch of money, and then all of these trade rumors start coming in, and people start blowing up the Vikings' phone, which it's like, if you're going to trade Stephon Diggs, then you're gonna tank the rest of the season.
You have to.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Who else are you going to throw the ball to in a team that's already having lacking problems throwing the ball? So with that being said, I was like, okay, you got to win this. You got to at least get a win, make people feel good here. But now that we won it, and we won it pretty handily. Yeah, running away with it. I really had to believe that too. But then you take a step back and go, all right, well, what does this mean? Nothing.
Yeah.
We're back to normal. People are happy again. But for the long scheme of this season, it's probably not going to mean dropping the bucket.
You're 3-2, though.
At least we're 3-2.
That's a very big difference than being 2-3. It's a world of difference.
Oh, absolutely.
To just have an extra W in the column.
This is Cousins' best game this season. 306 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he was the sharpest. He didn't, nothing stupid. Best game this season.
He was very efficient.
Yeah, he found Adam Thielen, who had 2 touchdowns, 130 yards, and Adam Thielen played like Adam Thielen again, which is like, yeah, get the ball in his vicinity. Guy can come down with it. That's
no matter
what he does. And then Dalvin Cook was Dalvin Cook, 218 total yards from scrimmage. So the Vikings offense kept moving the ball. I think we might have punted once in this game.
Yeah, it was great.
But settling for field goals, a fumble at the 1 yard line, stuff like that. I was like, they're dominating, but they're leaving that barn door open and being like, come on in if you guys want to take this win from us. We're going to let you hang around here. And they did until late third quarter.
The defense was like, oh, right. Nah, we'll shut this down.
Oh, yeah, the Vikings defense didn't have a bad day. They played up to their caliber, and that's what kind of kept the offense in this game, who wasn't putting the ball in the end zone as much as I think they needed to. The defense is still super strong in this, and they look great. Outside of Xavier Rhodes, they all had a great game. Xavier Rhodes got burned a couple times, bad call on a tackle late early in the game where it was a horse collar, and then he gets burned by a rookie wide receiver, and you're like, I thought this guy was shut down. He didn't pay like he's shut down.
I forgot. After that, did he come up with an injury out of nowhere?
You know, he should have. That's usually his MO.
My hammies.
I think he forgot because Zimmer was screaming at him until he was red in the face, and it was like, yeah, he should be screamed at because that was an awful play.
And you're Xavier Rhodes, or Xavier Rhodes.
Xavier Rhodes, you're right. That's what
you're
it is
You're Xavier Rhodes. You've got to figure that shit out.
But at least that was about the only thing that Daniel Jones in this offense was able to do. Otherwise, it was sweltering. He had one touchdown, one interception.
Wayne Gallman going down early also did not help at all.
No, that's the thing. Is if you lost these Giants, you're like, Jesus, just like the Bears, they were desolate on offense.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard is as questionable for next week as is Ingram too. Gallman, you're right, probably not going to play.
Yeah.
And there was all this talk like, oh, Barkley might be in there. He's out next week too.
Keep him out. Just keep him out.
You're right. At this point, why rush him back in?
Until he is fully healthy. Now, the funny thing is the New York Giants are 2-3, which by no means is like out of the playoff picture completely.
Nope.
But you can see the talent differential between them and any other good team.
Yeah.
It's pretty noticeable.
Yeah, the fumble at the one, Cook, I mean, we were dominating this game, and that we were like, oh, you're kidding, because it was 14-7 or whatever it was at that point. And then immediately the next play is a safety, though. And that's how this defense plays. Okey-dokey. It's like, how dare you take that ball away? That's our ball. We're going to go get it back. And they did, and that's what they did all this game. The Giants had a couple of drives where they could have gotten, they were in field goal range, they could have gotten some points on the board, but they went for a fourth down because they were down so much.
To.
Vikings defense put a squash on that. That felt good. So, yeah, I love where the defense is playing right now. The offense, this is the most balanced they've looked all season. Needed this for that reason. That being said, we got the Eagles coming to town next week. So it's like, do you guys, you play good at home, fine. Mm-hmm. And then you can beat the teams you're supposed to beat on the road, like the Giants at 500. Okay, fine. Can you beat good teams? Now, first of all, at least you get a good team at home. That loud crowd there in Minnesota.
You don't have to go to Philadelphia, where this is a very different situation.
That's right. And we were able to beat the Eagles in Philly last year. So this is a team we should know very well over the last two seasons. Very well. What are your thoughts, Eagles and Vikings? I'll let you go first.
I'm going to give it to the Vikings.
All right.
Because I need it to go to the Vikings. this Eagle team has been very hot and cold. They have beaten up bad teams, but then they have looked questionable against good ones. The Packers was a great game.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I haven't seen a definitive Eagles performance all year.
No, you're right.
You know, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. I hope it doesn't happen against the Vikings. Cowboys need a little breathing room. We got the Jets this week, so we better fucking beat those motherfuckers.
It's an interesting matchup. Their front seven is so good in Philly, and it's their secondary that's questionable.
Yep.
But you got to have time to throw the ball, and Kirk Cousins, if he's hesitant again, this thing blows up in everyone's face. And then there's more talk about is Kirk a bust and more talk about is this team going anywhere this season. So nothing's getting easier for these Vikings.
You'd feel good at 4-2, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, I feel amazing at 4-2. And I'll give them the credit. I'll give them some faith. I'll take them at home. I think the defense, how good they're playing, and that crowd, we need to force some turnovers in good positions, take that pressure off Cousins in that offense, and that's possible. It's
this
possible
because
we're at home.
It's going to be a tight game, but this is – I always say that a home game is worth 3 points.
That's the spread, too.
I think that's the difference.
Vikings by -3 right now.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. It's just because this is at home. This is a very evenly matched game. I'm going to really enjoy watching this, but I really... Fuck the Eagles. God,
that's right. Yeah, hey, we're both wearing purple this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Thursday night battle tomorrow, the grudge match. Super Bowl X whatever and Super Bowl X whatever. Oh, boy. Those Patriots undefeated again. Only guys who can stop an undefeated Patriots team, is it not? Those New York football Giants.
I hope for Tom Brady's mental health that the New York Giants beat him. And I hope Tom Brady comes completely unglued when it happens.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, this motherfucker.
Tom Brady pulls a Ryan Leaf screaming at reporters in the locker room. Don't say that. Get out of here.
Bill Belichick gives his most, like, pronounced press conference ever. He was like, fuck the New York Giants. Fuck them. Fuck them to death.
You just see tears running down his, and he's like wiping it off. He's like, I'm fine.
We're on to the next one.
And these Giants led by new hotshot Daniel Jones on offense and Saquon Wayne Gallman. No.
Oh, wait.
Sterling, maybe Evan Ingram. No. He's injured.
Will Hernandez.
And Golden Tate, who's finally back from his suspension. Oh, he was such a big weapon for them in that Vikings game. They'll go into New England. Into New England.
Oh, God. Never mind.
Never mind. Yeah, never mind. It's Thursday Night Football. They had to put this game somewhere, and you know that's what they'll be leaning on, too, is those Super Bowl losses.
Oh,
but
yeah. The best thing about this Thursday Night Football, though, is normally this is just like kind of a shitty game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is against the petty-ass New England Patriots, they're going to run up the score.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be like a 60-0 game, and they're just going to like they're gonna be like, well, if you didn't want us to put the foot on the gas, you probably shouldn't, you know. Go fuck yourself. You owe us two Super Bowls.
No helmet catch this yeah. week.
Tom Brady's going to snap. Yeah. If this game is close at all, Tom Brady's going to come unglued.
So Thursday Night Football, we're taking the Patriots. So that probably means they're going to lose, right? I can't pick a Thursday night game, right?
Dude, you better not go 0-6. That would be absurd.
With the Patriots losing.
This is your one chance.
If that happens, then we know I am the curse. Then we know it, and we can start using it to our advantage.
That's true.
Putting some money on there. Like, I am taking these Redskins. Pick against the Redskins.
Pick against the Redskins. You're not going to make a lot of money picking against the Redskins.
No,
though.
That was just the team popped in my head. All right. All right, Dan, let's talk about it. Packers, 34. Cowboys, 24. I mean, neither of us picked it. Neither of us thought it was going
to
happen.
31-3.
Yeah, that's what it once was.
Was the lead. The final score was 34-24. And we actually had a fucking shot at it. I did not like the way we came into this game from a game plan standpoint. Because that first half.
Yeah.
That game plan was bad. We kept making mistakes. Dak's first interception was, you know, off Cooper's hands.
Yeah.
That's not his fault.
Mm-mm.
Second interception, didn't see the fucking guy. Got to get it. Third interception, Dak threw it because the wide receiver was getting fucking mugged.
Mm.
This was a very poorly officiated game. On both sides. This was a shit officiating game. I feel like the officiating is getting worse.
Yeah.
The officiating is getting worse.
Yeah.
It's actively getting worse. Jason Garrett gets fined for yelling at an official for being directly next to a play where Amari Cooper comes down with the football, gets both feet down, and he's got to spend a fucking challenge to say, don't you fucking see that? That thing that's right in front of you? You're going to make me waste a challenge flag?
What's so wild about that is he throws that challenge thing down, says something, and the ref made a big old deal like, throwing this yellow flag.
He made a fucking
so
show
far
up
in the air. And then they're like, well, okay, yeah, he was right. But I didn't like how he told us we were wrong. Flag him for 15.
It's such bullshit. Jerry Jones was at least like, I hope he didn't hear Little Precious.
Yes.
Didn't hear anything he wasn't... you know, able to hear. I hope he got to spend the rest of his evening at church. Fucking church mouse.
Hey, you got to give him credit for coming to the defense of Garrett here this week because they're all like, well, what about the worries that Garrett loses his job? And he's like, don't take that bet.
So here's the thing. I feel like we actually didn't have a bad game. This is the fucking worst part about it. We had critical mistakes, critical interceptions, one of which Dak's fault, the other one not, in the first half. On drives where we were in the red zone, we were within striking distance, this thing got out of hand really quickly. But the thing that I love is that when it was 31-3, and most other teams would be like, fuck this.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys were like, nah, fuck this. We're going to do this thing. We're going to come back. We're going to make this thing a game.
So most people are fuck this. Cowboys were fuck this.
It's emphasis. It's like Mandarin when you say ma versus ma, and it's the difference between cow and mother. It's the same thing. See? You guys learned a little Mandarin
here.
Yeah,
no, I did.
So watching this game, I was very depressed when it was 31-3. When it was 24-34 and they were about to kick a field goal, I was like, we got this fucking thing. And then Brett Maher shanks a fucking field goal for the second time that game. Now, the first miss was a fucking long one. It was a toughie, but you gotta fucking convert that thing, dude. It's 17-0. You've got to convert it, and he fucking didn't. And then it's a minute and 40 seconds left. You gotta kick that field goal, or the game's literally over because we've got to get an onside kick.
Yeah.
Would have been exciting. We would have been able to tie the game, and he fucking misses it. And as soon as that happened, you know it's over. We're out of timeouts. They're just going to fucking kneel on the ball. And it was so fucking depressing because it felt like the tide was turning for the Cowboys.
Well, it was. I mean, Cooper Kupp had an amazing game all game. Like
Amari Cooper.
Oh, yeah, Cooper. Amari Cooper. 226 yards.
Amari Cooper Kupp.
And one touchdown here. He was awesome. Prescott had a bad start in this game, and the one player who hasn't been having bad starts, who's been red hot starting games, is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
This season, Aaron Rodgers starts these games amazingly, and if that is LaFleur and his plan, like you said, the first half of games, then that's huge. I mean, then there's a lot of connection happening here between those things. After the fast start, they came back down to earth here. And
Aaron Jones.
I was about to say, the only thing they could do was Aaron Jones.
Aaron Rodgers is the devil. Aaron Jones is the Archangel Michael. This fucking guy is unreal. He was just bouncing off fucking... He looked like the second coming of Barry Sanders in this game. With power.
182 total yards from scrimmage and 4 touchdowns.
He kicked
for Aaron
the
Jones.
Shit out of us.
Yeah. He ended up being most of their offense after they decided, like, well, we're up by a bunch. We're going to feed the rock. And that was the thing. That was a very surprising thing, is that the Cowboys couldn't stop the run.
So a lot of this was they went after Leighton Vander Esch.
Yeah.
And Vander Esch fundamentally broke down in this game. There were a lot of times he was getting over his toes. He was going for big hits and not just wrapping up and being a consistent tackler. Jalen Smith is all over the field and looked really, really good. A lot of players on this defense look really good. They attacked Leighton Vander Esch and made him look like a liability.
Mm.
That was the toughest thing for me to watch in this game, was they're like, ooh, they're going after Leighton. I hope nobody else is watching that either. I hope nobody else has got an Aaron Jones that can do that.
Yeah.
Because Vander Esch just couldn't tackle the fucking guy.
It's going to make things interesting moving forward. It's a rough 2 weeks here for the Cowboys. They got to bounce back. There's a rumor came up that the Saints players told journalists last week that they were knowing the plays that Kellen Moore was calling because he's using the same hand signals when he was quarterback at Boise State.
That's interesting, but hand signals also change frequently.
Yeah, unless he doesn't.
So
unless
if
he's not.
If they don't, and that's a rumor that's gone out, I'm glad it got out now.
Yes, that's so, what everybody, that when I read that, everybody's response was like, why are they telling him then?
Yeah, don't tell
Keep
anybody.
Keep that quiet.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. He'll fix it.
But the Saints, I mean, they're not going to play the Cowboys unless they meet in the playoffs now. So we'll
Cowboys
see
made second half adjustments and looked better because of it. Cowboys looked bad in the first half because of mistakes, not because of inability to move the ball on offense.
And the Packers were red hot, and they took advantage and jumped up.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to be like, oh, God, what an abysmal showing. It was a bad showing. They tightened their fucking tie, and they got back to work. This is an acceptable loss for me. Aaron Rodgers in Texas is indescribably good.
No, the Packers are now 5-0 in Jerry World and have not scored less than 31 points. That's not good.
No.
That's a rough stat there. And then, only other thing about this game, and I'll let it go, George W. Bush hanging out with Ellen?
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. The rich are their own species. It doesn't matter what your leanings are. If you got rich one way or the other, once you're rich, it's fucking done.
Yeah.
And now Ellen's rich, so fuck it.
That was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on that thing, and they're like, there's the president sitting next to Ellen DeGeneres taking in her first football game. And I was like, how do you know it's her first, Troy? How do you know it's her first?
How close you possibly
are you?
Know?
How close are you two? Then you're like, Ellen's like, going to my first game, Troy. Oh, I'm announcing that one. Have fun, Ellen. I don't know. I don't so know. All right. Your Cowboys, they get the Jets this week, but they got to go to New York. And surprise, surprise, Sam Darnold's back.
It
healthy.
Doesn't fucking matter.
That spleen's back to normal.
Doesn't matter. First off, it's fucking not. As someone who saw, I know he got great medical help. As someone who suffered through mono, you're not back, buddy.
This is the thing that practiced so much leading into that Eagles game, and then they pulled him out because of the spleen and because he wasn't fully healthy. And poor Falk had to still play, even though he didn't get to practice much, so the story goes. Now we're saying Sam Darnold's back, Sam Darnold's getting all this stuff. At least we'll see the Jets as somewhat a capable team, right?
God.
Maybe?
No, not a chance. I hope the Cowboys just absolutely destroy them.
All right, I'm taking the Cowboys, too. And then the Monday night football game is the Detroit Lions coming off a bye week. They've had the time versus these Green Bay Packers.
I'm going to take the Detroit Lions.
You're going to take the Lions in Green Bay.
I thought these Green Bay Packers looked really, really good. God, they're really, really hot. But these Lions have been really good, too. And just with a week off, with another week to watch fucking film on these Packers, they're going to find something. and hopefully get into Aaron Rodgers early.
It was just last year or 2 years ago when Rodgers was down with that injury that the Lions got their first win at Lambeau since like 1993 or something ridiculous like that. No, they're not going to win this one. These Packers are too red hot right now. Their defense is playing very good. I think the Lions, honestly, are the team that comes down back down to earth in this one, and the Packers start getting those talks about, is this an NFC team to be trifled with? Which I hate it. I absolutely do.
This is the NFC team North to beat.
It's an NFC North versus NFC North battle here, and I don't know who to really go for, but I can't cheer for those Packers. I probably want the Lions to win, but I think it's a Packers game. So we are different in that one. I am taking the Packers over you. We're going to move right along to the Sunday night game, Colts 19, Chiefs 13.
What a fucking shock this was.
That's right. Chiefs lose their first loss.
This was also the perfect alchemy of what like the Chiefs hate and what the Colts are looking to do every week.
Mm.
Play an adequate game with a really good defense and just kind of keep everybody in check, you know, and let Adam Vinatieri kick from time to time, because Vinatieri looked fantastic.
Yep. I think he's back, and thank God he is.
Mahomes, with a little hit to the mobility, not as sharp, Mahomes threw the fuck out of the ball.
That one touchdown. Is it still Mahomes asking you, like,
I know.
Whoa.
There's just some things Mahomes does where I'm like, how?
Yeah.
How did you do this? What devil magic? Like, he's like Aaron Rodgers with a stronger arm.
How did you make it to middle of the first round? I don't understand.
It baffles my mind. Like, think about it. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Pat Mahomes, none of them were a top five picks. And now looking back, you're like, how? Yeah. How was that not immediately obvious by the way you play football?
Amazing, amazing touchdown. Yeah, the ankle sprain's not good, but it was the other side of the ball. The Colts ran the ball very well with Mac. Their defense was stifling in this game, and they played him, and this is something Mahomes has said now, man-to-man. And man-to-man coverage seems to be something the Chiefs' small, quick wide receivers are having a hard time getting open, at least for him.
Travis Kelce was finding success with man-to-man, but he was pretty much the only one.
Yeah.
Man-to-man is also the thing that kind of fucks with New England, because if you play a zone against New England, they tear you to pieces.
Mm.
So Mahomes learned that. Man-to-man is tough because instead of relying on your ability to read the defense, it relies on your wide receiver's ability to get open.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And Andy Reid hates that. Andy Reid's like, no, I just want my quarterback to be able to read the defense and make a decision, not wait for a guy to get open, because in that time that he's waiting, pressure comes.
Yeah. We said that Kelce had a good game in there. Pringle did too.
Yeah.
He had 103
Byron
yards
Pringle.
And a touchdown in that one. What it was late in this game, the Colts didn't give the ball back to that upstart Chiefs offense. They were able to convert third, fourth, and short games late, running the ball too. It was like one of those, you know what, Chiefs, if you want to win this game, you got to stop them here, and you're not, and you're not.
Didn't do it, can't have it. Justin Houston was mad. Justin Houston was ready to play.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was a Justin Houston revenge game that happened there.
Low-key Justin Houston revenge game. Like, he's had his entire career just being low-key.
But because of it, so the Colts get that two-score lead late with a field goal. It's 19-10, and at that point it was like, well, it's going to take, like, some big stuff for the Chiefs to get back in here.
Yeah.
And they drove down that field, could only settle for the field goal, and then onside kicks can't ever do
shit. They got to fix these onside kicks, man. It just takes all the... takes everything away from the game.
Because, yeah, I mean, it was cool to see the Colts winning and nothing as a Colts, but it would have been nice to see Mahomes one more shot.
Yeah, I just want to see shots, man. I want to see a 12-round fight.
Yeah.
That's all I want. You know, I'm not saying I'm favoring one boxer over the other. I just want to see it go 12 rounds.
So the Chiefs, things don't get easier. They go back home. They're staying at home, but they got the Texans coming to town.
I'm going
to
pick the Texans.
Oh, look at this.
I'm taking the Texans. Deshaun Watson is red hot.
Yeah.
The offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs, it looks like it's in trouble. They got Cam Irving over there on the left side, and he looks overmatched.
Mm.
Sorry, not Cam Irving. It's something Irving. I can't remember. But it's he looks overmatched at the left side. That used to be Eric Fisher. He's injured. So this does not feel like a full-strength Kansas City team, and I feel like the Texans are going to be able to take advantage of that.
It might be a tight one, but I don't see Kansas City dropping.
It is Cam Irving. What the fuck am I talking about?
Dropping two at home? No. They've been kind of shown a little bit under the spotlight here in the last two games. The Detroit one was real tight.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot out of them, I think, to come back and win that one. And then taking on this Colts one, They should know that, I mean, the Colts were a playoff team last year, and they need to be taken seriously, honestly. They got a bye week, week six, by the way, so they get to walk in feeling great about themselves.
Oh, feel great for two straight weeks.
I'll take the Chiefs at home here. I can't believe the Texans will come in there and surprise them here, too. Kansas City's still one of the top teams, I think.
Deshaun Watson wants to show this off.
Oh, I love to see this. I mean, Watson versus Mahomes. Thank you, NFL.
Oh, please. This is fucking fantastic.
You owe it to me after the 10 games at noon, but thank you. Thank you so much. All right, let's talk about the expansion bowl, the 1996 expansion bowl. Jaguars 27, Panthers 34. We both took it. Tight game.
What a fucking blast, though, wasn't it?
It was a blast. Again, Minshew, 374 yards, two touchdowns. Yes, he had three fumbles. Oof. Fournette, 137 total yards from scrimmage. DJ Chark for the Jaguars is a weapon now.
Yeah, he is officially a number one wide receiver for those Jacksonville Jaguars.
Two touchdowns in this game.
We liked him. Guys, go back and watch the scouting.
So there's the Jaguars and all their excitement, but it doesn't matter because they're small, little number 22, in bright blue, that Carolina blue, going off for 237 total yards from scrimmage and
just a reminder,
touchdowns.
Everybody. The beginning of this year about fantasy.
What did Dan say?
Christian McCaffrey is the number one pick in fantasy. I said it with a bullet. It wasn't even a conversation that I was having with myself. It was Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, by himself, has outgained the New York Jets. He has more yards than the New York Jets have had all year. This dude is a fucking dynamo. He is a steam engine of football power, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, that was my crazy stat.
Oh,
week.
No, did
it's
I not all get...
right. It's fine. Well, we'll hit it again at the end. But yes, you're right. McCaffrey, four games now with 175 or more yards from scrimmage.
Isn't that nuts?
It's nuts. That it doesn't happen. Panthers just kept scoring in this game, kept scoring, but the Jaguars wouldn't go away. They're just like nuisance there, and they wouldn't go away. It was... Because of that, it kind of felt like it was a Panthers game because if it was a Jaguars game, it was going to be low scoring and that defense would have had a bigger part in it. But you give up 34 points. Yeah, things just were going too much on McCaffrey and the Panthers' way here. Allen is doing fine stepping in for him. I watched that game, and because he's not Cam Newton standing so tall in that backfield, it doesn't feel like he's an NFL quarterback. But he's doing fine, and because he keeps winning these games, if Cam does get healthy and come back in this, Panthers are a team we got to look out for. I mean, maybe if he never does, just because of Christian McCaffrey, the Panthers are a real team.
Yeah, I mean, Christian McCaffrey is so fucking good that I don't think at this point it matters who's back there. If you get a healthy Cam Newton, you immediately become the bell cow of the NFC South. Mm-hmm. You got to go against the Saints. But Jesus Christ, I feel good with the Panthers against anybody now. I know they just got into a track meet with this Jacksonville Jaguars team, but the Jaguars team has been good for the last couple weeks.
That's right. Yeah, so the Jaguars are going to hang around there too. They're going to be a nuisance themselves. They should at least be able to take care of the Titans in that division. It's just the rest of that division isn't easy either, as we're seeing the Colts and the Texans and what they're doing. And we all excited about Minshew mania here. I mean, I put on a jockstrap and did some stretches before the game.
I waxed my mustache.
There you go. Yeah, we're all on the Minshew train here. It just wasn't
the
enough.
The Minshew choo-choo.
It wasn't enough for this one because of the turnovers. Just too many turnovers is what it was. But again, DJ Chark here with 164 receiving yards in this game. He had 174 all last year.
Yeah. That's a good crazy stat.
That's not bad. That's not a bad one, right? So Jaguars come up short here. The Panthers take the win. Let's talk about the matchup in the NFC South that also happened this week, and then we'll talk about the pair-ups that these games make. The Buccaneers 24, the Saints 31. You were firing cannons. I took these Saints who just keep pulling out wins with Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Two Gloves looking legit. They are 3-0.
Yeah.
With under Teddy Bridgewater. It's crazy. They have a better record this year under Bridgewater than Breeze.
Yeah, that's true. Under four touchdowns in this one. He did have one interception, but over 300 yards passing. This was his best game since coming in for Breeze. And then, you know, Winston had two touchdowns. Godwin had 125 yards and two touchdowns. But Mike Evans, who could not be stopped when they played the Giants, could not catch a pass here.
Yeah, they were on him.
They put him opposite what's his name for the Saints?
Oh, Lattimore.
Lattimore, and Lattimore made sure. He had like three or four targets, but no catches.
We talked about this last week, that Lattimore was having a down year. And then they're like, put him up against somebody elite, and he is elite. Put him against somebody average, he's average. They put him up against Amari Cooper, then they put him up against Mike Evans, and motherfucker showed up.
Yeah, yeah. So Lattimore is somebody worth looking for now. The Buccaneers, though their offense still finds ways, they can put up points in bunches. The Saints do enough, and the Saints were at home here. They needed to. Six sacks for their defense. Thomas had two touchdowns and 182 yards. Kamara over 100 yards from scrimmage. But this game was 10-10 until the Saints, what did they do? They double-dipped. They got a touchdown. They got the ball the second half, and they got another touchdown. So from 10-10, boom, 24-10.
It really does feel like just an extra amount of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, when that sort of thing happens, you're like, wait, when was the last time we had the ball?
You watch this game and you go, this is why if you win the coin toss, you should always defer. Always defer.
Just to get a shot at it.
Just to get a shot at that double dip. Because if you have good game management here, good clock management, you're not Andy Reid, you got a real good shot at doing this where you go get the touchdown, get the next one. And then the Buccaneers were playing from two down in the second half. And it's just really difficult to do that.
Especially against this really good Saints D.
Yes, the Saints D was just taking care of Winston all game long. Six sacks. I mean, come on. So Saints go to Jacksonville, play these Minshew Jaguars next week.
I'm going to go ahead and finally get off the Saints bandwagon again. I've been anti-Saints for 3 weeks. I have not believed in Teddy Two Gloves. I continue to not be on the Teddy Two Gloves. Give me that Minshew choo choo. To ride over this really good Saints team.
We haven't been picking the Jaguars too much either.
True,
though.
Yeah.
So you could say you're getting on the Jaguars train. Not
I'm
so
getting
much
on the Minshew Choo Choo.
Never believing in the Saints with Bridgewater as you are. I want to take the Jaguars in this one. I think it's a nice matchup, but the way the Saints are playing and the game plan's coming in here, and they just have the answers for any team they play. I'll take the Saints. I'll cheer for the Jaguars. I'm cheering for them.
That's fair.
Absolutely. But
nobody cheers against the Jaguars.
I really can't. But I'll take the Saints to win this one. And then our 8:30 London game. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Cup of tea. Listen and let's watch the Carolina Panthers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Tampa Bay's home this week, London.
I think we are going to... And Tampa Bay legit does have a home because the same ownership as them as Manchester United.
Okay.
But I'm going to take these Carolina Panthers until Christian McCaffrey retires from the NFL or tells me he's not interested in playing football this week. I am taking Christian McCaffrey to rush to have over 200 yards total and two touchdowns every fucking game.
Because we only got that game left to talk about after this. Who's going to London first, Dan? Who's going to London in this week first?
I have to assume it's the Carolina Panthers. I have to assume it's the Panthers.
After what you told me last week and what occurred, I need to know. I need to know who are they both going there at the same time? Is one team going to be there a little rested than the other?
You
gotta
get your circadian rhythms, man. You guys can't see it on the podcast, but I'm making rhythm moves right here. It's circadian rhythms.
I like the Panthers talent wise in this one. I'll take the Panthers too. But this is a nice segue into the London game. From this week, the Chicago Bears, 21, the Oakland Raiders, 24.
The autumn wind is a Raider.
Mm-hmm.
And it's autumn, motherfucker.
And this was obvious. The Raiders jumped up to a 17-0 lead in this game because the Bears were not ready to start.
Yeah.
Once the Bears got ready to start, once Robinson started catching amazing passes, okay, it's a game. Bears even took the lead, but it wasn't enough.
First half, scheme. Second half, talent.
There it is.
You know what's a real bad scheme? Having everybody come over to fucking England on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's all fucked up still. Everybody's like, wait, what time is it? Oh, wait. Oh, shit. We got to play a game. Oh, god damn it. It fucked everybody up. It was a really, really bad move to bring these guys over that late. And the Raiders showed it. Now, the Raiders let this game absolutely slip away from them. But you could see that with Akeem Hicks out, with the way they handled Khalil Mack, and they handled Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack was a non-factor in this game. You could see that maybe there are some chinks in the armor to this Chicago Bears.
Khalil Mack and what was supposed to be his redemption game of getting traded away from these Raiders, it wasn't. Instead, the pick that the Raiders got for Khalil Mack was Jacobs, who went off for 143 total yards from scrimmage, two touchdowns. this was his like coming out party too. Josh Jacobs looked great.
This was a how you like me now from Josh Jacobs. And Khalil Mack, they schemed around him. They made sure he was a non-issue.
Yeah.
And they made sure they ran Josh Jacobs right at him.
When the Bears' strength is their defense, and Chase Daniel leading this offense, the offense is pretty porous right now.
They're fine. They're like, they look like a fucking poorly run offense.
Yeah, it's not enough. It's not enough right now. When you're down by 17, it's amazing they even got back into this game.
I was shocked.
It really is, yeah. But they did because, yeah, Robinson had two great touchdowns, had a couple even greater catches in the middle of the field. The Bears, just ran off three touchdowns after a fumble recovery that woke them up, which was an awful pitch.
Oh, my God.
It was like, do you want to lose this game, Raiders?
And they were blaming Jacobs for that, but at the same time, did you see how fast he fucking shot that thing with a no look?
No.
What are you doing, David?
Yeah,
Derek.
Yeah, the other car. Missed him badly in that pitch, but, you know, you can blame both of them, whatever. It sparked up the Bears. They were ready to go. And then, the Bears, and they're running into the punter in that play.
Yeah,
huge,
that was rough.
Huge in this one. Brings the Raiders to a fourth and short, so they decide to go for it and sneak it in there, and that's more time off the clock. They take that lead with 2 minutes left, and then I don't know what Daniels is doing with that skied pass. I guess he kind of got pressured.
Yeah.
But that just looked like a punt to me, and it was like, all right, this game should be over now.
And it was.
Yeah, and it was from that point.
I think at that point you know that the defense, and they really look good. Maurice Hurst looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Arden Key wasn't getting the production, but he was getting good pressure. So this Raiders defensive line looked really pretty good. This Raiders defense in general looked pretty solid. And the Raiders offense looked like it was good enough.
Yeah.
So this is a game where maybe if you have your full complement, maybe if Akeem Hicks is in there the whole game, we're talking about a different result.
That's a good point, too. Hicks, who was out the week before versus the Vikings with a knee injury, goes out early in this one with an elbow injury, and the talk is that it's not very good. He's going to miss quite a few weeks. I haven't heard how long yet and what exactly is, but
I picked the Bears taking a step back this year, and nothing I've seen so far makes me regret that decision.
They don't play next week. Since both these people were in London, they get their bye week, week six. Bears and Raiders with a bye week. But a little bit about these teams. Does this tell us the Raiders could be for real, could be a playoff maybe caliber team? Or does this tell us that the Bears have a lot of problems stemming in that offense and it's going to keep them down from making the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Yes to both.
It does both. These Raiders, more the second thing than the first thing. I don't feel like these Raiders are actually going to be a playoff team.
Okay.
But I feel like they might play spoiler. I feel like they'll be in the mix until like week 15 when people are like, oh, yeah, you're done. Like, this mathematically is very difficult for you to make the playoffs. But they'll be in there, and they will be a respectable team. John Gruden will feel better about this year, especially after the really rocky start, if he goes 8-8.
Okay.
If this team is 8-8, I feel like John Gruden feels a little vindicated that he maybe didn't lose all of his coaching mojo.
Nothing else. It's proven that the Raiders drafted very well.
Oh, boy.
Very well in this last one. And they had all those first-round draft picks, so either you screwed those up or you did them all right. And so far, they did them all right.
Doing all right. Cleveland Ferrell's not getting a ton of reps, though. That's the weird thing. It's like your number four pick is not
getting
the production.
Yeah, very early, and we were surprised he was that early. And
Mike
maybe
Mayock with his defense. Well, if I was, I was the one telling everybody how great everybody was. It's like, yeah, but you were wrong a lot, Mike.
Sounds like it. Okay, that's it. We covered all of the games for week 5 and the ones upcoming for week 6, yes?
Scott, I have a crazy stat for you.
Oh, good. You found one for me. All right.
That's right.
First of all, though, let's wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode. This comes out every Wednesday, so just get this one. You get the next one where you got this one. We're on Stitcher and the Google Play and the Apple Podcast and the Spotify and everywhere. Check out all the great shows at Universe Head. Dan, give us a crazy stat.
So here's the crazy stat. This is my first ever crazy stat, so
yay.
Right there with you. I stole your crazy stat. It's only fair.
That's right. Mine was, McCaffrey has 866 yards from scrimmage. Gurley and Elliott combined have 816.
Oh, that's even better. That's a good stat.
Jets have 718.
We do love the numbers, so I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
The record of the New England Patriots opponents currently is 29-47.
God.
Which is a winning percentage of 385.
Mm-hmm.
If it stays that way, if it continues that way, it would be the lowest strength of schedule in NFL history.
Damn.
They are 5-0 against the worst schedule in history.
There it is. Yeah, that's a good, crazy stick. Good job, man.
Found there pretty quick.
I didn't count up the picks this week with my mom's. well, I'll get you guys updated next week, but I know me and my mom picked exactly the same this week. So, Dan, I think...
You got me by one or two.
I might have gotten you by one or two this one, so the extending comes on more.
I know.
But those Thursday night games, still the band might
I'm going to start playing Hero Ball here pretty soon and start taking random picks.
Any more teams to add to the Tombstone this week? We got any?
No, I mean, we Tombstone the Washington Redskins. Did we Tombstone the Miami Dolphins? Because I feel like we Tombstone them like week two.
That's not even worth needing saying. Falcons, did we Tombstone them?
Tombstone Falcons. Falcons. Dan Quinn is done.
Yeah.
And Tombstone Falcons.
That's what it felt like. Okay. That's it, guys. That's our show. Thanks so much for joining us. Please tell and rate and subscribe. Tell all your friends to join us for next week when we talk about week six, because it's going to be a blast. Dan, parting words of wisdom.
3-2 is a lot better than 2-3.
Hell yeah.
But 4-2 is a lot better than 3-3.
Can't wait for it.
So if you got the chance to get a W this week, even if it's cheap and against the New York Jets, by all means, go ahead and do it. Because you just got to start stacking W's, man. This is like the ants before winter. Just start stacking them. It doesn't matter who they're against. New England got 5. They don't give a shit. They got 5. You're in the barn right away. Just close the door.
Whew. All right, that's the episode. I'm out of breath, but next week, one less game. There's 4 teams on bye week.
Oh, so much easier.
So thank you guys for joining us. I am Scott. And you have a great week. We'll see you next time. This is the podcast.